1450 or mail at P.O. Box 1750 Johnstown 80534. That's 970-587-5450. No phone calls, please.
Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to join them as they welcome Toby Janicki from First Fruits of Zion on Thursday night, August the 28th, for a special seminar called Knocking on Heaven's Gate, Discovering the Appointed Time of Prayer. The appointed time for the seminar, 7 p.m. The location, KHNC Studios, 2 South Parish Avenue in Johnstown, Colorado. Learn a practical way to fulfill Paul's injunction to pray without ceasing and to pray with understanding, and discover how you can participate in the daily Moed, an appointed time of prayer. Call 303-654-9924 for more information. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
Network, and I was really rather fascinating. This morning I was on the internet, and certainly one of my favorite writers is Ambrose Evans Pritchard. He was the senior reporter for the Sunday Times, and when he was stationed in Washington, D.C. during the Clinton years, I had the opportunity to interview him several times on stories having to do with Clinton corruption, the death of Vince Foster. Certainly the terrible things that were taking place during the Clinton administration, totally illegal. In fact, Ambrose Evans Pritchard was doing such a good job of telling the truth and writing articles that were published in the Sunday Times in London that apparently pressure was put on his newspaper to actually withdraw him. In fact, he spent a great deal of time analyzing what happened in Oklahoma City, the bombing of the Murrah Building, and it was very obvious the government's involvement in that, and if you read his articles, and we still have some of our material on the Oklahoma City bombing, my interviews with Ambrose Evans Pritchard, the story of Andy Strassmeyer, the German intelligence agent working for the CIA, was intimately involved with the bombing of the Murrah Building, and first was smuggled out of this country in large part with the help of a lawyer who actually, I had interviewed right here and had interviewed several times, thinking he was a good guy, only to find he was a government plant as well. But anyway, Ambrose Evans Pritchard has been back in London, not writing so much about America and the political machinations, but about our financial situation. And this morning, and Pritchard is a man I put a great deal of confidence in. Very, very few authors I do, but Pritchard's a very smart man. And he's talking about the contraction of the M3. In other words, the measure of the money in credit, all the money in credit available in the United States. And what he wrote was, I will have to admit, amazing to me, because he described an active contraction in the M3 money supply over the last 3 months, the largest contraction of the money supply in our nation's history. Well, what he's basically saying is that the Fed is secretly beginning to cut off the supply of money and credit, ready to shut down our economy. And this is what you have to do. This is what, of course, what Paul Volcker did back in 1980, led to just terrible deflation. I know many of my doctor friends at that time thinking that they could play the system, had gone out and borrowed money and they'd put up a condominium homes or apartment homes, or they put on a beautiful development out along the shore here in Santa Cruz where I live. Beautiful, 25 beautiful condominiums, probably $300,000 or $400,000 each, but they would have made tremendous amount of money. The only trouble is, as the government squeezed the money supply, suddenly nobody could qualify for the loans. And here they had all these beautiful condominiums they'd built, and nobody could get the money to buy them. People wanted to buy them, but they couldn't qualify, according to the banks. And, of course, eventually month after month are my doctor friends having to pay a tremendous interest rate simply to, you know, to keep the thing from being taken back from the bank by the bank. And eventually, of course, they lost. They couldn't keep up with the interest rates. They lost. They had to give the condominiums over to the banks. And then at that point, then the banks, of course, would begin to lend money on them and were able to sell them off. And my friends, well, I remember one of them was a surgeon. And when I was getting to retire, I asked my friend when he was going to retire. And he shook his head and said, "Stan, I wish I could retire, but I lost everything I worked my whole life for." At that time, during this economic squeeze, this deflation that occurred back in 1980-81, we called it the Reagan Recession. It wasn't Ronald Reagan's fault. It was simply carried out by the Federal Reserve System, because Ronald Reagan didn't run the economy, he didn't run the country. He simply was the figurehead that was allowed to do a few things, and then, of course, after he was assassinated, and the assassination attempt carried out, incidentally, just coincidentally, by the son of a very close friend of one of the Bush family. I think it was Ned Bush's very close friend's son, who shot the President of the United States. Had he succeeded, of course, that would have made Ned's father the President of the United States. Is that just a coincidence? I think President Reagan got the message and towed the line after that. Well, under any circumstances, the same thing is happening and beginning to happen today. Certainly, we see inflation as far as food prices is concerned, but we see falling prices as far as homes are concerned. We see falling prices as far as automobiles are concerned. I saw, F-150, I think it was, a new Ford truck up there, and it was $11,000 or $12,000, an unbelievable price. I mean, they're losing money on every car they're selling today, at least as far as General Motors are. And Ford's losing money on almost every car they're selling, and yet they have to keep their production lines open. They have agreements with the unions. An impossible situation. It'd be better off just to shut down the lines and let them wait until there's a shortage of cars and then build them, and then, of course, they could raise the prices. But you can't keep, you know, producing and losing money on every car you produce. Well, I talked to one of my friends recently back in Greenville, South Carolina, and he was telling me about one of the big home builders back there had a new tract with 400 homes, upper middle class homes, and those homes were all for sale. And of course, they'd sell, he'd make a fortune. The trouble is, nobody could buy them. Nobody could get the loans. It was getting increasingly difficult to get loans. And this man paying phenomenal amount of interest every month to the banks, because of course everything is done on borrowed money. That's how you get ahead. That's how you get rich. You borrow money and you invest it, and then you make more money and you pay it back to the banks. That's how the game's supposed to be played. But what happens when they change the rules and people can't buy the homes? And that's what's happened. And it got to the point where the man could no longer keep up the interest rates. He simply walked away from the development, and the bank was stuck with $50 million worth of homes and nobody to buy them. Well, hopefully we're going to have Pastor David Whitney. Hopefully we can get him on the line here while this is going on. Anyway, I hope the producer will come on. I'll give him David Whitney's telephone number. We'll try to get David for the morning.
Constitutional moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
you're a woman over 35 and suffering from hot flashes, mood swings, low sex drive, it could be your hormones. Listen to what Suzanne Summers has to say.
All I could think was, who turned up the heat in here? I found out that it's all about balancing bioidentical hormones. My brain is sharp, my moods are even, I'm sleeping great, and I even lost the extra weight in my midsection.
Radiant Clinic is Suzanne Summers' only recommended clinic in Colorado for bioidentical hormones. Look for a location near you at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, we're talking about the economy, and of course, David Whitney is not yet available with us. Or with,
yes, I just
is
got,
David Whitney there? Hey, good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. Sorry about that. Got my times confused, but great to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Anyway, of course, David Whitney is with the Institute of the Constitution. And of course, we would not be in the mess we are in any way if we were adhering to the Constitution, which is the official law of our land. In fact, every elected official swears to uphold the Constitution and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And yet, of course, we have enemies of our Constitution at every level of government who've sworn the oath but are there to destroy the Constitution, to say, oh, this has a living document, it changes, it's breathing, and that's why we're going to change it to bring about the socialist authoritarian dictatorship that we believe is best for you, common people. And people have to understand the Constitution. We have to understand that our president violates the Constitution regularly. He signed legislation he knew was unconstitutional, saying, oh, the Supreme Court will take care of it. But we've got people on the Supreme Court who don't believe in the Constitution either. If we want to maintain our nation, we have to understand the very foundation of that nation, which is the United States Constitution. And the truth about it is not taught in our schools, is not taught in our universities, is not taught in our law schools, but it's taught by the Institute of the Constitution, which, of course, David Whitney represents. So without further ado, you pick up the story, David.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. And we've been talking about the essential role that the jury plays in defending the Constitution. That is, if the legislative body were to enact or to write a piece of legislation, pass it through both houses and pass it on to the president. President, we say, signs it into law. And then, of course, we know that the judiciary can have a review of that piece of legislation as to whether it is constitutional or unconstitutional. So we see the three branches of government playing a check and balance against one another regarding whether something is constitutional. But what happens in a situation where all three branches of government collude together to violate the Constitution? So the legislature writes a piece of legislation they know is not constitutional. The president signs a piece of legislation he knows is not constitutional, just as you've mentioned he has done. For example, I think of the McCain-Feingold Campaign Finance Reform Act. Of that bill, when he signed it, he said he knew it was not constitutional, but, well, you know, the Supreme Court will take care of it. Well, the Supreme Court has not taken care of it. They have not done a thing to end that unconstitutional piece of legislation. What are we the people to do? And our founders said, we the people have a final check against unconstitutional legislation, and that check is the role the jury plays in judging the law as well as judging the facts, so that when a juror serves and they look at the case before them, they are also to look at the law before them to judge whether that law itself is constitutional or if it is not constitutional. And so from the founding of our country downward, the doctrine that was held to was the independence of the jury, that the jury served as a final review of any piece of legislation in spite of what the legislature, executive, and the judicial branch, in spite of what they have said, the jury is the final review, determining whether indeed something is or is not constitutional. Well, that understanding that was right there at the beginning of the founding of our country is an understanding that today is largely invisible. In fact, it's criticized if you see it mentioned at all in the public media or entertainment media. They call it jury nullification, and they describe it in a way in which they say it is illegal for juries to nullify laws, which is completely false. That's the opposite of what our founders clearly stated and established. How did we get to this state? Well, it's a long progression of chips that were taken away piece by piece by piece, ultimately till today. Most Americans have never heard of the idea that the jury has the independence to judge the law even before they look at the facts of the case. Well, for example, early on, this is in Massachusetts in 1835, a man who ultimately became Chief Justice of the United States, Joseph Story, he argued that it was up to the educated judge to give the law to the uninformed jury, and that it was only up to the jury to decide the facts. And that was the case, U.S. v. Bastiste, a case of piracy, or a case of felony on the high seas and so forth. So it was something that went to the federal judiciary. And he was saying it's the educated judge that really gives the jury what they need to know, and the jury's not to involve themselves at all in judging the law. That was a first shot, you might say, back in 1835 across the bow of jury independence. It was followed up by a case in New Hampshire in 1843, and many of these cases that I'm going to talk about were cases of laws regulating the production of liquor. And today most people think, well, you know, that's the job of government to regulate whether somebody is producing alcohol or not, and if they produce it, the state needs to be involved in determining if they're doing it correctly or what have you. But not so at the beginning of our country. In fact, the first insurrection, you remember, is the Whiskey Rebellion. What was that about? The federal government trying to tax whiskey that the farmers were making themselves. And to many people today, that seems like, well, of course they shouldn't be able to do that. Nobody should be able to make whiskey without the government involved. And yet you need to understand, in those days, whiskey was a cash crop. That is, if you had corn and you were able to distill that corn into whiskey, you could exchange that whiskey at the store for flour and for meat and for whatever essentials you needed, because it was as good as cash, because the store owner then could sell that whiskey himself. And so, in a sense, this was the cash crop for farmers all over America. And for the government to enter into taxing it and regulating it, most people were violently opposed to that. They said, that is wrong. And ultimately, we know the government regulation led to the 18th Amendment and Prohibition, which was an enormous disaster in itself. But a number of these cases were test cases, in a sense, in which the jury, that is the people themselves, judged the laws that the government was passing, regulating and controlling the production of liquor by farmers. And they wrote, these are unconstitutional. This is wrong for the government to be doing this. So one case in New Hampshire, Pierce v. State in 1843, it was stated that the distinct purpose of jury independent was to serve in criminal cases to protect the accused from injustice and oppression on the part of the government. And this case overlooked that distinct purpose. It said, you know, that really isn't the job of the jury to be involved with. Just 2 years later, in 1843, Commonwealth v. Porter, in the next state over, in Massachusetts, the Chief Justice here, Lemuel Shaw, held that although the defense attorney had the right to argue the law to the jury had no right to decide the law. This went even further than Chief Justice Joseph Story, who said, you know, it's up to the educated judge to tell the the jury what the law is and what it means. Here, it was saying that jury has no right to make that decision. And this was an even further statement, which, again, completely out of line with the entire history of our country, entire history of English common law, and our rights to a trial by jury, which meant a trial by an independent jury, not controlled by the government, not dictated to by the government, but able to judge the law as well as the facts.
You know, I think it's so important, the basic principle, David, that people understand that there is an elitist attitude, whether it would be certainly by the people in our legislature, the people of great wealth, but even within the judges. We are much smarter than the common people. And yet it was the belief of our founding fathers that the people should be the ultimate source of knowledge, and that first that we should have a government where the power of the elite to control the masses would be limited. And so this is why we were people were to be able to judge the law. This was the beauty of the jury. It was an independent means of circumventing the power structure as it existed, you know, when this country was founded and as it exists today. Only today, of course, the power structure is even more implanted. And of course, we have judges who are there for life. And once you get to be a judge, why, you have the right to determine what's right and wrong. Our judges are just as corrupt as anybody else. But I'd far rather have 12 independent citizens who have no vested interest and most of whom could not be bribed rather than have one judge who can be bribed. And if anybody doesn't think that our judges are bribed, you know, in one way or another, or perhaps have done dishonest things and could be, have to submit to external pressure to force the decisions by the jury that they want, they're sadly mistaken. Unfortunately, we live in a corrupt world made up of corrupt men. And our job, of course, is to try to maintain the system that we inherited. And part of that was the independent jury that could determine whether the law was correct. And at least as far as this one case, if that law wasn't correct, it wasn't a just law, then, of course, you could had no right to convict the individual. So this is foundational to the very belief of our nation of the rights of men to be free. Free of the restrictions of corrupt government, because all governments are corrupt. Government by its very nature is corrupt, and the purpose of America was to limit the power of government so men could be free. So go right ahead.
And another case that illustrates this is the next state over in Vermont, 1849, state the Croatia. Liquor license here was the issue. Should the state have the power to regulate and control the production of alcohol? And all of these laws were very unpopular, and it was very unlikely that juries would overturn and resist taxing and licensing of liquor production. And so while there was very little reason to argue for the right of jurors to judge the law when the law was a popular one, when the law was unpopular, that's when the jury should have the right to argue it. And of course, in this case, it was being stated that, no, the jury should not have the right to resist or argue against an unpopular law. The very purpose for a jury of your peers, a true jury of your peers, an independent jury, was that they could take a law that they believed to be wrong and throw that law out in that particular case. Also in Vermont, this was a number of years later, 1860, and you were closing in on the time period just leading up to the war for Southern independence, but in this Vermont case, State v. McDonald, the trial judge used his own discretion to decide how much a role the jury independence was to play in this case. And here was a dangerous shift because, you know, jury independence is most likely to be disparaged in precisely the cases where it would be needed most by those in power, those who are judges. And if the judge is given the power to determine how much role jury independence is going to play, we know the jury is not going to be able to do what it needs to do at the time it needs to do it. And today, this is when you look at what's happening in most courtrooms, this is this principle of the judge controlling everything that happens in the courtroom and only allowing the evidence in that the judge determines ought to be in, only allowing the attorneys to argue the arguments that the judge will permit them to argue. In essence, the jury is given a one-sided view of the case. today, because the judge is in control of everything that happens in that courtroom. And we don't really have an independent jury. And even if a juror understands their role to judge the law as well as the facts, quite often the judge is manipulating how the evidence is presented, what evidence is permitted to be presented, what arguments are permitted to be made by the attorneys. The judge is in absolute control, and that's not the design that our founders had for the judiciary at all, that the judge would have this kind of tyrannical power in the courtroom. Rather, it was the judge kind of played the role of an umpire. That is, the umpire doesn't determine what is defined as a ball or a strike. He has a standard by which, okay, if it's in this range on a person's body, it is a strike. If it's outside that range, it's a ball. He doesn't get to change the strike zone. No, the umpire is following a fixed standard. Here's what's safe and here's what's out, etc. Well, that's what the role of the judge was to be. There was a fixed standard, and the judge could not alter that standard.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Pastor David Whitney right here at the American Group.
As they welcome Toby Janicki from First Fruits of Zion on Thursday night, August the 28th, for a special seminar called Knocking on Heaven's Gate, Discovering the Appointed Time of Prayer. The appointed time for the seminar, 7 p.m. The location, KHNC Studios, 2 South Parish Avenue in Johnstown, Colorado. Learn a practical way to fulfill Paul's injunction to pray without ceasing and to pray with understanding, and discover how you can participate in the daily Moed, an appointed time of prayer. Call 303-654-9924 for more information.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And David, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, what they can get from the Institute of the Constitution, or what they can get from your online store, and then, of course, get your telephone number out, because it's so vitally important for people who value their freedom to be able not only to learn about our Constitution, but begin to teach it to others, which is the beauty of your system. So go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we're talking here about the juries judging the law. Well, they have to judge by a standard, and of course that standard is the supreme law of our land, the United States Constitution. And so every citizen should know the Constitution. So we put together what we call a host kit, because you know, most people be frightened by the idea of themselves teaching the Constitution. Instead, they're simply hosting constitutional law professor John Eidsmo, who in 12 lectures gives a thorough background, understanding, worldview, and a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and subsequent amendments. And in addition to that, two lectures by David Barton help round out this course we call our Foundations course, that gives a citizen the essential knowledge they need to be able, first of all, to cast a vote for someone who truly will uphold the law, and not the people promising, as the two main party candidates today promise, to break the law even before they take their oath. It gives them a tool to teach their family, to teach their, we hope they'll take it to their church and teach the congregation there, and beyond that, to reach out to their community and see that people in their community become educated citizens who can do the duty of a citizen truly evaluating candidates and as a juror evaluating the law. So people can call us if they want to order our host kit toll-free. Our phone number toll-free at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. Or if they prefer to order our host kit on the web, or even other materials that we have in our web store that will enable them to understand our Constitution and their role, our website is iotconline.com. That website, again, for Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. And there, right at the top of the first page, you can see a link for purchasing the host kit. Or you can go to our store and browse through the many materials we have available there to help create educated citizens who know what the supreme law of the land actually says. And that may sound like a strange thing, but because the Supreme Court today twists the words to mean something opposite of what they originally meant, what our founders intended them to mean, and because legislation comes out and is signed by the president just about daily that violates that Constitution, most Americans have no idea, and they also believe falsely, Dr. Stan, that they can't understand the Constitution. That, you know, it has to be these constitutional experts that tell us what it means. No such thing was intended by our founders. They wrote the Constitution for the average citizen to be able to understand it and act based upon what the Constitution actually says. Act when they went to the ballot box, and act certainly when they served on a jury to be able to determine what is just, what is unjust, what is constitutional, and what is unconstitutional. So our course has been taught and is being taught all over the country. 50 states either have or are currently conducting our class, and we're very encouraged by that. We want to see more of it, though. We want to see millions of Americans having a working knowledge of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration, and then using that knowledge to take back our country from those tyrants who currently are in power that do not want freedom for the people. They want enslavement. And they recognize they can do that most effectively by the abuse of the judicial branch, which is why the jury was so important to our founders. Well, we were talking about different cases that in the history of our country just moved the ball in the wrong direction in terms of jury independence. Following the war for Southern independence, and this is 1869, this is another New Hampshire case, State v. Hodge, and while asserting that the standard kind of established earlier in Pierce v. State in 1843, while asserting that that was the standard, nonetheless recognized that before the Pierce case, jurors had been the rightful judges of law as well as the fact in criminal cases. So here in 1869, they were recognizing that, yes, in an earlier time in our country, before 1843, there was a time when the rightful judges of the law was the jury, but that's not the case anymore. And so here again, the change was taking place there in the middle of the 19th century, and right around the time of the War for Southern Independence, things were shifting in the judiciary, and You look at what took place several years after that, and you see that it was shifting even further. Let me cite another case, and this is from Pennsylvania, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania versus McManus in 1891, claimed that the court itself was the best evidence of the law within the jury's reach. And it stated, the jury are not the judges of the law in any case, civil or criminal, which is an absolute lie. But nonetheless, Commonwealth v. McManus became looked to by many judges and attorneys as, well, that's the standard now, you know. The whole idea is this. If you have a living, breathing constitution, that is something that changes and evolves over time, what was legal at one point in time may be completely illegal a few years later. So what they recognize is, oh, yeah, there was a day in which the jury was the judges of the law, but that's no more. Now we've got our experts in black robes. These judges, they are the ones that determine what is law, and the jury has no business dealing with any of that at all. But if you look at what our founder said about the role of the jury and the importance of a trial by jury, what you really have is a complete reversal. Now you no longer have a trial by jury of your peers. Instead, what you have is a trial by government. A trial by government-appointed officials, judges and prosecutors and so on and so forth. And you don't have any justice under that system. You don't have any protection for your God-given rights. You just have government bureaucrats that are going to do to you whatever they choose to do to you. And heaven help the poor man that gets on the wrong side of these tyrants. Well, that was in 1891. The very next year, 1892, a case in Vermont, State v. Burpee, this claimed that jury law judging was, quote, neither sound in principle nor salutary in practice and was against the weight of authority. And again, this is an absolute lie. The weight of authority from the founding era of our country, the weight of authority all the way back to the Magna Carta, 1215, in English common law, the weight of authority everywhere except these tyrants, the weight of authority was that the jury judges the law as well as the facts. And so then to claim that jury law judging is neither sound in principle nor salutary in practice and is against the weight of authority is an absolute lie unless you believe in the evolution of law and the living, breathing Constitution idea that law changes and, well, the weight of authority now is not what it was 100 years ago and that sort of lie. But most people recognize that if you have an evolving standard of law, you really have no security for life, liberty, or property. Well, let's jump ahead 100 years now and see what has taken place. And we come to my own state, the state of Maryland.
You hang on there, David. We'll be right back here at the American Center.
To order your cassette copy of this program, call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. We're talking about the importance of the jury. We're talking about the corruption of our legal system, so that you have an elitist system of judges telling the juries what's right, what's wrong, what evidence can be admitted, what evidence cannot be admitted. But the judge really is the determinant of what's going on. Today in America, we have more people in prison than any other country per capita in the world. In fact, we have 2.3 million people in prisons in America. In China, communist China, ruthless, brutal communist China with four times our population, why, they have 1.6 million people in prison in that slave state. Here in America, one in every 32 adults is either in prison, probation, or parole. Among blacks, 21 to 31, one in three, prison, probation, or parole. What's wrong with this system? What's wrong with it is we don't have a judicial system, looking for truth. We have a system that is intent upon using the power of government to oppress the people. We need to get back to a free society. Yes, we need to put criminals in prison. We've got an awful lot of people in prison who are not criminals, and some of them are sitting on the benches across America directing this move towards a police state. It's about time you woke up before they come after you or one of your loved ones. Go right ahead, Dave.
Well, we know that not only is the United States Constitution the supreme law of the land, each of the 50 states has their own state constitution, which is the supreme law of that state. Well, here in Maryland, Article 23 of our Constitution is first part of our Constitution is a Declaration of Rights, basically a Bill of Rights before you even look at the details of the Constitution. And Article 23 of our Declaration of Rights states that the jury is the judge of the law as well as the facts in criminal cases. So that's what our Constitution says. It is the supreme law of the land. But it's very interesting to see this case in our state, 1962, Giles v. State. And it insisted, this court case insisted that Article 23 of the Maryland State Constitution, the supreme law of the state of Maryland, Article 23, it states in this case, is unconstitutional because it fosters the possibility that a defendant would be subject to a trial different from that given to other defendants in like circumstances and that a jury would not apply the law correctly. Now, what they're dealing with is the problem that if you allow jurors, which our founders wanted, and clearly stated, to judge the law as well as the facts, you could have the same set of facts, the same conditions and case, in two separate cases, and the jury may decide differently in one case versus the other. Therefore, you have a vulnerability in the system, and the vulnerability is dependent upon a jury of your peers. Here they're stating, no, you can't allow that. The judge has to be the one, and the judges have to be the ones that establish a fixed standard that doesn't vary from case to case, and the jury can say nothing about varying anything, and certainly the jury cannot judge the law. But the problem is, that is the law of the state of Maryland. The supreme law of the state of Maryland says the jury judges the law and the facts. But black robe judges have said, oh, no. The Constitution doesn't say that. It doesn't matter what the words on the Constitution of the state of Maryland say, they do not apply. Which means we have criminals running our government here in the state of Maryland. And I would cite that across the country it's very similar. The criminals are wearing black robes, they have law degrees, and they claim that they are the ones who can change the Constitution. Well, like the U.S. Constitution, our state of Maryland Constitution has a means by which it can be changed. That is the amendment process by which all those who are actual legal voters have a say in voting for changing the Constitution. What we have in Maryland, and again all across our country on the state and the federal level, we have judges changing the Constitution of the state and federal government illegally, unconstitutionally. They are changing it by edict that they, the judges, have issued that has nothing to do with the legal process by which the law is to be changed or by which the Constitution is to be changed. So these are criminals, and they're stating their criminal action here in 1962, Giles v. State. They state their criminal action by claiming the Constitution doesn't say what it obviously says. And it's an astonishing thing that that would be the case, not only on the state level. Then the following year, 1963, this actually made it to the federal court and all the way up to the Supreme Court in a case called Brady v. Maryland, 1963. In this court case, the Supreme Court of the United States recognized, they said, the attenuation of the jury's ability to judge the law. In other words, we recognize the jury used to judge the law, but that's no longer the case. And the Supreme Court of the United States went on to say that the language of Article 23, that's our Maryland state constitution that states the jury judges the law as well as the fact, they say the language of Article 23 does not precisely mean what it seems to say, end quote. Now note, the Supreme Court of the United States says the supreme law of the state of Maryland, Maryland's constitution, Article 23, quote, does not precisely mean what it seems to say. They're telling us that they are the living, breathing Constitution. They are the supreme law of the land. What they say is what is. And if they say the words on the paper that for several hundred years have meant this, that the jury judges the law and the facts, it no longer means the jury judges the law and the facts. And who's changed it? The Supreme Court of the United States and the courts of the state of Maryland. Black-robed lawyers have declared that they are supreme and that they are the ultimate determiners of what these words mean, and they don't mean what they appear to mean.
I think what is so vitally important for the listener to understand that men are corrupt and judges are just as corrupt as anybody else. And the legislators are just as corrupt as anybody else. So why should you give one group of corrupt people power over the masses of corrupt people? What you need, of course, are honorable men, but and we always refer to the honorable judge, but is he an honorable man? Can he be bribed like anybody else? And of course he can. That's why you're far better off with 12 jurors than the judge determining what the law should be. Well, our time's just about up. One parting thought before we let you go, David?
If juries understood these facts that we're sharing here in these programs, and they acted upon them, we could restore our constitutional republic.
Call Amen. God bless. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Here's your chance to make KHNC Radio the best it can be. Become a part of our team. KHNC is looking to expand their sales staff. If you're an experienced commission-only salesperson with a proven track record and are creative, have drive and the ability to work independently, send us your resume now. Fax is 970-587-5450 or mail at P.O. Box 1750 Johnstown 80534. That's 970-587-5450. No phone calls, please.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here to wrap up this morning's program, and certainly if you'd like to look more into how we've been betrayed by our judicial system, we have a wonderful book written by my good friend John Stormer, who back in 1964 wrote None Dare Call It Treason, and incidentally, if you haven't read it or reread it, you should read it, reread it, because that book gives you so much insight into what's going on in the betrayal of our country by the people who control the Council on Foreign Relations, which is simply a front for a secret society created in 1891 by Professor Quigley. That's all covered in, pardon me, created by Cecil Rhodes, and it's all covered in a book by Professor Quigley, which we carry long suppressed. And if you don't believe it was suppressed, we have an interview with Professor Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, the most outstanding historian of the last century. The book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, it's available along with the tape. But anyway, John Stormer wrote about this back in 64. He's written a more recent book called Betrayed by the Bench. We carry that. We think it's vitally important that you have that information and that you help us get that information out across America. Then, of course, another thing I want to mention is that Radio Liberty is trying to get our program heard, our afternoon program, which incidentally you can hear on the internet if you would like to, at RadioLiberty.com. But we're trying to get that onto a major station in Spokane. We have an excellent opportunity to do it. If any of you out there would like to help us, believe, as I do, that the only way we're going to turn around this country is to reach the American people. Why, of course, if you could in any way help us towards getting that station on, make a pledge for it, 3 months or so, so that we know we'll have an income so we can actually go ahead and start that program. We'd like to start it as soon as possible. Drive Time Spokane, one of the largest stations there. If you'd like to help us, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to talk to you about it, and we'll appreciate any help you can give us. Because, you see, the only way we're going to turn America around is if the good people out there really care about freedom. We're heading into terrible financial times. And when we come out at the far end, which we will eventually, we will either be a dictatorship or we will reestablish our constitutional form of government. What are you willing to do to try to preserve the freedom that we have inherited from generations past that we can pass on to future generations? Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to talk to me, if you can help in any way, we'd be glad to talk to you. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, like the virus and war. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you can help us, we'd certainly appreciate it. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get our material on the spiritual battle that's going on. The DVDs, where I play a small part, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. And the sequel to that, Riddles in Stone, very professionally done, a beautiful photography, and you'll understand that there have been secret